the Pacific Ocean. It's on the other side. This is El Salvador, not a huge, huge place. But this is where Troy and I went. And we want to begin by thanking you for helping us get here. This congregation, through special donations, helped us make the trip. And not only make the trip, but help us. And you'll see some of the monies were used in the work that went on here in San Salvador while we were there teaching and preaching and things of that nature. But as we came in, we flew into San Salvador, drove 2.5 hours north to La Palma, which is on the border with Honduras. And we worked in La Palma. Now, you notice this picture up here to the left. This is the lady that came and visited Missouri. Her name, Troy, escapes me.
Alicia
Jimenez. She visited the congregation in Monette, Missouri, where her brother worships. And Monette, Missouri and Mount Vernon are two congregations who are really spearheading this work in La Palma. But she came and visited. She was baptized while she was there. She came back to La Palma. There was no congregation for her to worship with, no church in that area. And so Mount Vernon and Monette, Missouri, and other congregations in that area kind of pooled their resources and in 2000 began making trips to La Palma to establish a church there in that area. And after doing that, now here in 2006, there's about 46 members, and you'll see some more later. And two full-time men working.
Those two full-time men were recruited from a preaching school in San Salvador. Once Monette Church of Christ in Mount Vernon established the property there, got the church going, they went to the preaching school to recruit two preachers who had just graduated from there, Jesus Fernandez and Jose Castillo. Both wonderful preachers, very sound in doctrine, very good. And what they do, interesting personalities. Jesus speaks no English and has no desire to speak English. He's very quiet, soft-spoken, and is really powerful. He's quiet until he gets around the kids.
Yes.
Once he gets around the children, he becomes very animated. Jose is very outspoken, very lively, very funny, has learned how to speak English, and is developing that. They both complement each other very, very well.
Here is the team. You'll recognize a couple of people up there. Troy and myself. Next to Troy is Doug. He's from Monette. Then you have Edwin, who was from a congregation in Arkansas. He was pretty much our interpreter while we were there. He was actually born in El Salvador, and his family's from La Libertad. But you'll see Eric here, and this is their family, Eric and
Rick and Marcy.
I always forget their names. Rick and Marcy Long. They brought their son, but Marcy was a nurse on the trip, and she was making sure that kids in the program were getting medical attention, that kind of thing. We'll talk about that in just a second. Bob and Melba, husband and wife, he is a preacher at Monette, Missouri. And then Ron is an elder in Arkansas. And El Capitan Ralph McClurg, he was pretty much the leader of the group. And he's an elder at Mount Vernon with his wife, Carol, and daughter, Lori. But as far as the plans for the congregation and how their future goals, they make a trip every 3 months, basically. And they've made that commitment to be there to help support, not just start a congregation and leave or just get some people baptized and leave, but to be there long term to help things get going. And they're doing a great work in that. And so this is part of that. The trip that Kara and Allison went on in June, was a trip they always do in June, a medical mission campaign for about a month. And we were kind of a follow-up to that, in that contacts were made, and we were visiting those contacts, doing Bible studies in homes. But that's part of what we were doing as this team. But part of that commitment, while we were out doing Bible studies and stuff, Ralph was meeting with the mayor, trying to get paperwork in hand so they can begin a private school there in La Palma, and eventually also a preaching school in La Palma. So they have long-term goals for the community there in La Palma, and their basic mindset is to raise up a generation that knows Christ and get a congregation established and get a preaching school established where you have people from El Salvador teaching and people from El Salvador preaching the gospel so they can back away and be done. So that's their long-term goals for this area.
Part of the other thing that they do is benevolence. Every time they go down, every 3 months, they take these big totes full of different things. It could be clothing. In this particular case, there were sewing machines, books, computer parts. And every time they go, what they do is they have each team member, instead of checking their own personal luggage, they check two of these. They're allowed 2 50-pound luggage, so they use this. That leaves the team member with only a carry-on and a backpack to survive out of for 2 weeks, which is easily done there because a lot of the members there will help wash your clothes and things like that. And you stay wet most of the time anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
And everybody smells, so.
It's okay.
No.
But that's the part of the benevolence. Every time they go down, they take these totes with them, and they always have stuff that they give out to the people there. Now, when Josh and I were in line, we met the group from Monette and Mount Vernon in Houston. And as we were walking onto the plane, Josh asked me, "How do you say this in Spanish?" And I said, "Este." And he said, "This gentleman here said, you learning Spanish?" I said, "Yes." And he goes, "Y'all with the group?" And I said, "Yes." "Or the church group?" He goes, "Oh, what church group?" And I said, "The Church of Christ." He goes, "I'm a member of the Church of Christ." Oh. And I said, "Oh." And he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "We're going on a mission trip to El Salvador." And he goes, "I'm going on a mission trip to El Salvador." And come to find out, his name is Jaime Mejia. He lives in Katy, Texas, and he's from El Salvador. His brother still lives there, and he goes down pretty regular to help out with the church down there. He had two big bags full of stuff to take down to give to the church there. And he's working in San Salvador area with his brother. He's only about an hour or so from where Andrew and I are going to be living in Austin. And so I've got his number, and we're going to be staying in touch whenever I move out to Texas next year. And as you can see, your fearless leaders there, we went right to work as soon as we got there. We had about an hour to wait for the bus. And just so you know, Josh and I went on this mission trip for several different reasons. One, both of us want to be missionaries when we grow up. And so we wanted to get some more experience in the mission field. This is an exciting mission field. We wanted to see this particular one in general. And as well as, Josh and I have been talking in the possibility of forming a mission team between ourselves. A lot like what Chris Fry did going to Paraguay. We're hoping that, Lord willing, in the future, we can get together and form our own mission team and go into the mission field and work together. So this was kind of a way to test the waters to see how well we work together and how we work together and things like that. And so far, we like working together. So it looks like everything's good.
This is just outside the front door in the hotel we stayed in. This is downtown La Palma, and this actually doesn't look like it, but is a major thoroughfare from San Salvador up to Honduras. Despite what this picture portrays, there is usually a constant rate of big rigs coming through this town. And because it's on a hill, you know, right outside the hotel door, you hear the jake break all the time coming down the hill and all that, right outside the congregation. This was just one early one morning, and a random group of mules and horses were around. But this is La Palma. It's a very mountainous area.
It's a very beautiful little town. It's an artist colony. Most of the people that live in La Palma are artists, and they paint or draw or build things that are sold in all these little stores that are inside La Palma. And it's a tourist area also. A lot of tourists come there and buy these things. Almost all the buildings are brightly colored painted, or they have these murals. They pay people inside the town to paint these murals on the building. So it's a very colorful and beautiful city. It is up in the mountains, so it's very hilly. We always have enjoyed the chicken buses. The reason they're called chicken buses is because they carry chickens and goats and everything else on there. It can be pretty exciting. Josh and I had the pleasure of doing that. And then they had a parade when we arrived, not because we arrived, but there was a medical mission. The Catholic Church had a medical tent that they set up, and a bunch of doctors came in, and they were doing surgeries of all kinds. without any kind of anesthesia and any kind of painkillers, so that people would go in and get surgeries that were needed, and then they would go home without any painkillers. So it's, yes.
We arrived in La Palma. We worshiped that night. And then our next morning, we spent out visiting children and visiting homes. I say visiting children because we're visiting homes of the children who are in the program. And this program doesn't have a name. It's called The Program. But they basically, families in the States adopt a child in La Palma and help support them going to school, clothing, food, medical care, things like that. And part of the prerequisites for joining that or being in the program is that your family has at least one Bible study in the home and that the children attend regularly. They attend services. And so they're trying to get the families involved through the children. And so that's what we were doing, out visiting. And that's what Lori, or Marcy, was doing, making sure the children were healthy. But we were out visiting these homes, going and doing Bible studies with the families. And you see the homes, they're not real lavish. Most of the homes that we went to were mud brick, mud floor, and just clay tiles for the ceiling. And so this was it. And this is a very common scene. This is actually a grandmother, a sister in the congregation, and her grandchildren. And to see a woman with many children was not uncommon, because either the husband's out working, is in the United States, sending home money, is a drunk, or has just left the family. And so there's not a real strong presence of the father figure in the home in this area, which is sometimes typical. But you can see it's very hilly and very very mountainous. We were actually at about 3,500 feet. So we went from zero to 3,500. It was pretty nice. But
this walkway that you see right here is very common also. There's one of the sisters lives right here. This is her front door. And this is how she goes back and forth to town, back and forth to church, and everything else. Lots and lots of hills and valleys that we had to go over. Another thing in the culture that you see a lot of there that we're fascinated by is the men and the women carry everything on their heads or on their backs. We saw some farmers carrying some tomatoes in big crates up and down this big mountain on their backs. That's how they got the tomatoes in and out of there. And there was no way to get the vehicle up there because the road was washed out. Melba thought that she would try her hand at being like the local, and she lasted just long enough to get the picture taken. It was like, quick, get this off my head. And you can see that as we were passing out these bags, which, by the way, these bags are given out to the kids in the program. Every month they come to the church or to the hotel there, and they check on all the kids, and then they give them things, school supplies, clothing, food, anything that they need, and they send them home each time. And these bags are pretty heavy. They're about 40 pounds each, as Josh can tell you about.
Well, they're not real big people, if you noticed. And there was that lady I was talking about earlier. She had two bags, one for a grandchild and another child, and then another lady with her had another bag. So it was three bags that they were going to be carrying up a hill about half a mile, three-quarter mile away. And so, you know, being strong, strapping Americans, we thought we'd help out, Ron and I. They're probably stronger than we were. We were huffing and puffing when we got to the top of that hill. Anyway, those were not heavy, but they're full of rice and food, and if you can imagine, just big bags full of food, and they were happy to get it. So
this is just some pictures of this very common that you see there in La Palma. Lots and lots of children playing everywhere. Josh and I really had a fun time. We went and bought these two big bags of candy, so as we were walking down the street, we would see some children playing and we would give them dulce. And they just thought that was the greatest. But lots of children with great need there.
This, you'll see this video here, is a one of the family's homes. That's a toilet. That's where they wash their clothes. This is where they bathe and collect their water. So that was somewhat typical of what you saw in that area. Makes you appreciate so many things. A toilet, washing machine, those kinds of things. So that's how they live. That's normal. Her daughter was actually in the program but was sick at the time. With the flu, so, which can be dangerous in that area. So,
living conditions are, as you can see, just from the little bit we've shown you, are very, very minimal. I tell you, the people are just so friendly there. They're so caring. And all the children were clean all the time. You never really saw a dirty child. And they are very, very happy people, even with what little that they have. And one of the children that became very special to us was a young boy named Jorge. Jorge lives across the street from the church building. And Jorge's mother came to the United States several years ago to get a job, make money to send back to El Salvador. And she got over here, and I guess she liked it so much, she decided she didn't want her family anymore. And so they don't know where his mother is, so that left Jorge's dad and three other brothers and sisters alone. Now, Jorge's dad works in the sawmill all day, just trying to make ends meet. So basically, Jorge is unattended or unsupervised throughout the day. The school system down there, you either go to school from 7:30 to
1 o'clock,
and then from 3 o'clock till...
From like 2 to 7, 2 to 6.
To 7. There's two different times of the day that you go to school. Jorge didn't want to go to school, and I don't think his dad can afford it. So basically, Jorge runs around, like I said, unsupervised. He's essentially almost an orphan, practically. But he's a very, very sweet kid. He was a lot of fun to be around. He loved hanging around us at the hotel and everything. Him and Bob got real close to each other. But one day, Jorge decided he wanted to show some of the mission members his home and where he lived. And we were quite surprised. This is where Jorge lives. The church building is across the highway right there. You can barely see it, just right around the corner. And he would take them in through the rooms, and he'd say, "This is where me and my papa sleep." And there you can see one of his sisters and his brother there. This is Jorge playing in his little corner of the house where he lives, and his toys and stuff. And this is their wash basin area where it's right inside their home. So you can see the living conditions there are very poor for Jorge. Jesus and Jose, the preachers there, have kind of sort of adopted him, he's always with them, and so they usually watch out for him. And Jorge is always at the church building. He's always bringing gifts. He would bring a little bag of oranges and give to all the members of the team, and he's just a really sweet boy. And you see this played out over and over and over in the children there in La Palma. Now, this lady right here, I actually don't remember her name, but one night Josh and I were making phone calls to our wives back in the States, and she came up to me and started talking to me in Spanish and started telling me her story. Now, I'm 50% of my Spanish. I'm learning. And she said she had a paralyzed child, and I thought I misunderstood her. So I said, "Well, why don't you follow me, and I'll take you to the team members, and they can help you." So she followed me to the hotel, and sure enough, I had interpreted correctly. She had a paralyzed child. And the team members, Ralph and everybody from the Monet and Mount Vernon Church, do a real smart thing. They take all the requests, because there are tons of requests. As soon as the Americans arrive, the requests start just flowing in. They take all those requests, they write them down, they sit on them for a little bit, and then they sit down with Jose and Jesus, the preachers in the congregation there, who know all these. And they say, "Do we do this or do we not do this?" And they go down the list and they decide who they're going to help and who they're not going to help. What is a legitimate claim about? One of the things they did was they went to investigate this lady's claim. And sure enough, she had a paralyzed daughter. She needed some money to take her child to San Salvador for some therapy, which was a big help. So they helped her with that. And then they also bought her a propane tank so that she could cook for her family. Because this is her kitchen right here. And so this way she was able to cook for the next few months with that little bit of propane they provided. Now this young lady right here is Fatima. Fatima was baptized about a year ago. She had a real struggle before she was baptized because her parents or her mother told her that if she was baptized that she would be disowned from the family and she would no longer have a job in the family business and she would just go off on her own. So she really had a problem with that. Well, Jesus and Jose comforted her and said, "Don't worry, your soul is more important than that, and we'll help you." So she went ahead and was baptized, and luckily her parents did not disown her, And now she actually owns a shop right next to where her mother's is. And one of the things we would do as the team members is we would go by that shop every day and invite her mother to church. And every day she'd say, oh, I'll try. And we're just going to keep that going. And eventually we get her into church.
This other family you see here, Marta, you have Roxanne, the oldest daughter, Adonis, the youngest son, Yamalet, and Amilcar. This is a great family. I think Yamalet is in the program, but a great, just a neat story. One of the first teams that came over were evangelizing in the area, and they saw this lady working, and they invited her to come to worship. And he said, well, I can't because I had this big mound of sand that I have to get from down here up this hill to this other home before I can do anything. And so some of the team members went back, circled the troops, came and moved that sand for her out of the way so that she could come and worship. And she came to worship, was baptized that night. And so she kind of became, kind of the code word was removing obstacles out of people's lives in order for them to come to Christ. And so that was kind of the code word. But she was always there, very faithful lady. And her husband, when she became a Christian, her husband was a drunk, did not let her children go to school because he needed the money to drink. And so she said, you either shape up or, you know, because I'm gonna send the kids to school. And so he left them. And so the kids are in school now. But Amilcar's 14 and Roxanne's 12. And they had never been to school a day in their life. And so they're having to start in first grade. And you imagine, you know, what they're going through. Adonis was pretty much on schedule. And Yamalet was a pretty smart girl. And she's caught up and almost surpassing where she is. But Amilcar is a great young man. He's almost a Latin version of Shea Brown in that he hangs out with the preachers and is working with them, going to Bible studies. And they're kind of training him up to be a predicador or preacher. So a neat young man. This is Raina. Raina is somewhat of a Lydia in the congregation. She was a neat, neat lady. We were always in her home teaching children's classes, and things were always going on in her home. And you see, she makes tortillas from the mesa and sells them out that window for 25 cents for seven. She was always having little children run up and buying tortillas and that kind of thing. And right here, part of the benevolence work is part of what she did to make money was to make cakes or bread, rather. And a drunk destroyed her oven, and so they were in the process of building another one for her. And you'll see a finished product of that later on. But a great lady, a great worker in the church there in La Palma.
This is just some more give you an idea of some of the things. This is a very typical house. If they don't have the clay roof, they'll have a tin roof over it. And they're always drying their clothes out in between the rainstorms. This is a typical area where they wash their clothes, wash their dishes, and wash themselves. You'll see this in lots of the different houses there, and that's their main water source. And speaking of washing, this is what we had to deal with in the hotel down there. That is an on-demand hot water heater with a 30-amp breaker in the shower. So that is why Josh's hair is curly now. He decided to push the breaker. Yeah. So that was always exciting, the thing in the shower there.
Shower/interrogation room.
Interrogation room. This is the church bus ministry here. This is Franklin's Toyota Corolla, and we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people in there. One night, they decided they wanted to go to the next village over and eat pupusas, and so they loaded up the bus and off they went. That was just a funny photo.
This is a home. We're coming towards the end of the rainy season. This is a home that was pretty much landslide, came in on their house. They were not home at the time, but this is, again, something they deal with. Very clay-type area, and so mountains washing away is normal. And this is part of the benevolent work. That home you saw earlier was sliding into that home, into that. So mud into the mud brick, and water was just seeping through the house onto the mud floor. They had a stream in the middle of their house, in their mud floor, and so they helped clear that away, clear that mountainside away, and the governor or the mayor there said he's going to put a retaining wall there for them. So they have a this team over the time has formed a good relationship with the mayor, which is a good thing. So he's really helping the work there. So
now, other than the few things that they had on their agenda to get done, as in meeting with the mayor, trying to get the paperwork with the school done, there wasn't really a set schedule as far as what we were going to do. The only thing that they said we must do while we were there, which was the reason we were there, was to save souls. And every day we reiterated that we were there to save souls. So we spent a lot of time doing Bible studies. Before we got there, Jesus and Jose had set up several Bible studies in the area of members who were either struggling, or members who were contemplating the plan of salvation, or members who just wanted a Bible study. There was lots of different opportunities, and there were lots of different subjects. We talked about the plan of salvation. One of the popular subjects was gossip in the church. There was subjects of denominational confusion. There's actually a couple of Bible studies about devil worship and things like that. Partaking the Lord's Supper and how a lady should dress. And it was always interesting, the things that people would ask. What was more amazing was seeing the Lord's Word working in these people's lives. And that was extremely evident with this lady right here. This is Anna. Anna was raised in the Seventh-day Adventist Church for 36 years. And we studied with her many, many times over the course of the 2 weeks we were there. And she, at first, said that she thought that her baptism was good because she was baptized for remission of her sins. And we kept studying with her about it. She also had other questions. And we just kept going to her house and studying. One afternoon, she decided that she needed to be baptized for the remission of her sins the correct way. And so she came to the hotel, and we immediately went to the church building, filled up the baptistry, and before she was baptized, she sat down and prayed for a considerable amount of time before she went into the baptistry and was baptized. And she's just a wonderful lady. She has a real concern for her soul. Her son, right here, you can see another picture of him in a little bit, was baptized a year and a half ago, approximately, and has been wanting this for ever since, for his mother to be baptized. And this is her husband and her other son. And it's just a wonderful story of the Lord's Word working in someone's life. And this is inside Anna's home. You don't really see much because it's dark. And all these homes, this is the middle of the day, it's really dark, really small, dirt floors, clay walls, and they just... It was, I'm not going to describe it, it was just such an amazing setting. And this is the front door. And it's interesting because all the doors are open there. You walk down the street, and one of my favorite things was everybody speaks to each other. It's blance or salud to the children or adios. Even as you're walking by, you look in somebody's house, the door's wide open, and they'll wave at you or say hello. You just walk up and you go, con permiso, and they'll say, adelante. And you walk right in and you start studying the Bible. And we continued on these different Bible studies. This lady right here, you can hardly see her, she's actually a member of the Baptist church that's there. And Jose has been studying with her because she's had a lot of questions about the Church of Christ, because the Church of Christ is really active in La Palma, and everybody sees it, and everybody's talking about it, so she already knew what the deal was. So she's been studying, and she's real close to being baptized and coming over. These are just a couple other Bible studies that we did. This young lady was concerned about gossip in the church. And this young lady here, that was my first Bible study, my first home visit. We walk in, we start talking to her, and she just breaks down and starts crying because her mother's sick. She doesn't know where her mother is because they wouldn't accept her in the hospital, so she's out roaming around. Her husband is an alcoholic and was drunk and mad at her for some reason. Her kids are, she's having problems with her kids, plus she's sick and she's having problems with her job. And man, you're sitting in this setting and then having somebody break down, it really rips at your heartstrings.
This other family here was a visit that we made. The girl there on the right is in the program, and her sister with the eye patch was part in the June medical mission. They were able to take her to San Salvador to see an eye doctor and get her, she had what they call, I guess, a lazy eye, and get that corrected. There may need to be surgery later on, but that's part of what was going on in June. But they just had a baby. This baby, at the time of this picture, was 22 days old, The first Sunday, the father was baptized, and then the next Sunday, the mother, his wife, was baptized. She was waiting. It was customary for the family or for the mother and child to stay home for 30 days until that 30-day period. And so she was waiting until that point to go out and to come to church and be baptized. But this family is a great example of a family unit. You don't see very many intact family units. And so this will be a great addition to the church, not only for their souls, but also for the edification of the other members. So, again, here's it's very mountainous, very beautiful area, but this is the first morning, and we're out making treks around the town. This is walking down towards the river, but walking downhill, the bad part of walking downhill is you have to walk back uphill again, so, which y'all probably aren't familiar with here in South Florida, are you? Not at all, anyway.
One wonderful thing that happened, the ladies that went on this particular trip had planned to take a lot of lessons with them to teach the women in La Palma how to be good Christian mothers, how to be good Christian wives, how to be good teachers in the church, and just different examples of things like that. So it was really exciting, some of the things that they had. One of the things was the flannel set. They taught the ladies how to use this in the children's classes, step by step, and go through the whole thing. And they were so excited because they had this new tool that they could use and show the children. And they immediately got it because that evening, they had a class with the children and just had a lot of fun. And they also had some classes at the hotel over different subjects, one of which they recruited Josue here to be the part of Jesus in the Mary and Martha story.
Yeah, apparently if you don't shave, you get to be Jesus, so go figure. But again, here's this ladies' class. They were studying the story of Esther, and so hence the Burger King crowns. Those were imported, by the way. So, this again is a picture of what that oven will look like later on. But there in the town and in the area, there were about five Peace Corps workers that were helping translate with different scenarios, different translations, and working with the people. And there were about actually 130 in El Salvador, but they helped out. And part of what one of them does is teach classes on how to bake different various things in one of her communities. And so kind of as a fun thing, the ladies went to this session and helped out, and the guys chipped in a couple of dollars here and there to help buy the produce to make this. This is banana nut, chocolate chip banana nut bread, and they're baking it in, you know, tins, which were actually pieces of metal that they found to fold into tins. I think they said one of them was a license plate before it became a tin, which they did not tell us before we ate it. After we had lead poisoning, they gave us that information. So anyway, but that was that. So
now, one of the things when we went down there, Josh and I said there was no really schedule for us to follow, so we didn't really know what we were going to do. I decided to take a couple of the children's lessons that I'd taken with me to Paraguay. I'd emailed Chris, and he sent me some of the songs that I'd learned while I was down there. I thought I'd take those with me. That's pretty much it. They did tell us to go ahead and be prepared to preach a couple of lessons, which I found out as soon as I got off the bus. They took me right in the pulpit, and I got to preach. That was fun. Josh preached. But then, with the ladies' class going on, they brought all their children, and they needed somebody to teach and take care of the children. And so Josh and I volunteered and said, we can do it. And it was a lot of fun. We did Bible stories, singing, games, crafts, and snacks. We took some of the money that was donated to get Josh and I there and pull it together to make a working fund. And we would go out and we'd buy things like crayons or copies of pictures so that they could color, toys, different things. We found these letters right here, and we would play games like how to spell certain words. The best part of this was those kids were teaching me probably more than I was teaching them, because I would say, what's this? And then they'd spell it out in Spanish for me, so I'd learn what this is in Spanish. And that was a lot of fun. We took those songs and taught them how to do the different songs. They were real popular, two or three of them that we brought from Chris there in Paraguay. And then here's Josh doing his very best Van White while we're doing the story of Jonah.
It's an early Van White.
Ellos comienzan a traer las cosas por la boda.
The next picture of them. There you go.
No puede creer. ¿Sabe usted que Jonás hizo luego? Él dijo a los hombres para cuidar el barco y el viento para arriba.
This was part of the Sunday night and Wednesday night. They have classes. They don't have services like we have. They have children's classes. Part of the blocks and Play-Doh things we used. We had no idea how many kids we were going to have. We had anywhere from like 5 or 6 at one point to 40 or 50 sometimes. We had no idea how long. They'd come out and say, well, we ran a little bit long, and so it's going to be 3 hours. And it's like, okay.
Trying to keep the kids entertained.
Yeah.
So we started getting real creative with some of the things that we wanted to do. As Josh mentioned, on Sunday night, they had children's classes instead of services. They have one class at Rand's house, the lady that we showed you earlier, and then the other one up at Jesus and Jose's house. And so there's always a ton of kids, and we would basically do songs and Bible stories and things like that. And usually what we'd do is a Bible story, then we'd give them something to color relating to that. But once they were through coloring, they did something that was new to Josh and I, we'd never seen before. They kept coming up to us and saying, nota. And so what that meant was they wanted us to grade their coloring. And so, okay, we would grade their coloring, and of course, their scoring system is 1 to 10, 10 being perfect. Well, like, we're going to give anybody less than a 10. So Josh and I would try to make it a little bit more difficult by at least asking some questions.
We weren't going to give away a 10. You know, you had to earn a 10. So Troy would ask them in Spanish, and I would ask them in English. But this was fun. Little kids, you never knew how they were going to act. And they enjoyed it.
The best part of the children down there, I think Josh and I enjoyed the most, is we'd be walking down the street or something, and we'd see one of the kids that we've been teaching, and they'd come running up to you and go, Armando Troy, Armando Sway, and just really warmed your heart.
This is part of the class that we were doing as well. You see some of the children coloring. Now, again, we had no idea we were going to be doing that. Troy and I used one of our few skills and started drawing pictures for them to color. You can see a picture there of Jonah. So some pictures we were doing just to keep them entertained. But something else, you know, you can't color crayon, cut color for an hour and a half. So we had tons of empty water bottles. We bought a ball and we have the Palma Lanes here, which was pretty fun. This little girl, Stephanie, was really, really cute. She was always hanging out with us there while we were teaching the classes and everything. So it was a great, great time. But teaching the children, again, you know, you never know what kind of impact you're going to have on these kids. You're showing them love and affection that sometimes some of them don't get all the time, and especially from men. They don't have father figures and that kind of thing. So it was a great experience.
And, you know, with the economy the way it is there, we taught them little games like Duck, Duck, Goose, which in Spanish is Pato, Pato, Gonzo. And it's really funny. It's really funny. Jorge here, he's so funny whenever we would teach him that to go around the circle. Well, he figured out if he would stand in the middle of the circle and watch him, he could run and intercept him and catch him. So he figured out a different way of playing the game.
We also taught them some devotional songs. This is an older group that we were teaching one night. I was teaching some of them the English devotional songs.
He reigns from heaven above.
Now, one of the things we made sure we did while we were there, we made sure that we always taught the same basic lesson, because as we mentioned earlier, part of the idea is to raise up the generation knowing the Lord. And so every time we would emphasize the saying, it's always right to do right, it's always wrong to do wrong, it's never right to do wrong, it's never wrong to do right. And that's correct because the Bible says so. And we recorded this for Dan. We're going to have to show you.
Siempre es bueno.
Siempre es bueno.
Siempre es bueno. que
Biblia lo dice. Gracias.
And they were holding up pictures that we had written out in mother letters, that phrase, and they colored it, so I take that home with them. So this worship, this is some pictures from Sunday morning. The first Sunday morning we were there, I do not remember this gentleman's name, but he's a preacher from San Salvador, one of the first preachers in El Salvador is what we were understood, and he preached that morning. This is a Sunday morning, singing with them, and then every like Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night and Friday night, on a just normal for them to meet together like we would on Wednesday night and study and have a lesson on those nights. And so this was normal for them to do that. So we were preaching during that time as well.
Now, one thing about this preacher here, he told me he was a graduate of the Sunset School of Preaching in Lubbock, Texas. And so that was exciting that we were talking about that. And then, as we said, Josh, we had several people that would preach. Bob would preach, Josh would preach, Ralph Godwin preached, including myself. A lot of times what would happen is Edwin would translate for him. So Josh would preach in English, and Edwin would translate into Spanish, and that way both could listen.
Here we are singing that morning. I understood what it means to sing with the understanding, sing with comprehension. But some of the songs were the same, just different wording, obviously. But
now, you notice it was a real small building, but it had a real loud sound system. That's because this is that main highway we told you about. Literally, you see just inches from the church building. And what would happen is these trucks would come down with their jake brakes or grinding gears, and it would just get so loud you couldn't hear yourself think. And then I understood why there's a loud sound system in a small room. Here's an example of Bob preaching with Jose doing translating. Now, Jose's been learning English, and this trip was his first time to translate a sermon from English into Spanish. This young lady's name is Bessie. She's from a nearby town, and she comes over every other Sunday to help out teaching the children on Sunday morning.
Hermanos y hermanas, he encontrado el secreto a la vida. Es verdad, yo lo he encontrado. Y hoy estoy aquí para compartir este secreto con usted.
This is how you do it if you don't need a translator. So he's pretty good. Anyway, that was that night. Like we said earlier, the whole reason we were there was to save souls. We had a meeting every night about the day. And as we close, the whole reason we were there, the whole reason you helped us be there was to save souls. To save souls. And we always reiterated that, as was read earlier, to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Not just to make disciples and leave, but to also teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. While we were there, there were, and I told the numbers before, 15 children's classes, 9 ladies' classes, 16, 17 in-home Bible studies, but 11 baptisms. 11 baptisms occurred while we were there. 11 times people understood that they needed to be baptized for the remission of sins. 11 times souls were clean before God. 11 times people went down into the blood of Christ and rise up to walk in newness of life. 11 times we saw the gospel work in people's lives. And as we think about that here, you're about to see a video of that. Over and over and over again, people are being baptized for the remission of their sins. And you'll hear totos pescados, or all sins are washed away. And tonight you can have that opportunity to have your sins washed away, like these 11, like the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, like those in Acts, like Nahum this afternoon. We can all have an opportunity to have our sins washed away. After we watch the video, we're going to sing an invitation song, an invitation to encourage you to make that choice, to follow God, to make the right decision. We're going to watch this video now, and you have a choice tonight. And if you have not been living the life that you need to, you also have an opportunity to come before the church and say, I need prayers. I need some help. Because that's what we're here for. So we're going to watch this video and sing a song, and you'll have an opportunity to come forward.
Paulina González, por haber confesado su fe en Cristo Jesús como el Hijo de Dios, en este momento es bautizada en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo por el perdón de todos sus pecados y para nacer de nuevo en Cristo Jesús. Amén. María Graciela Cardosa, Por haber confesado su fe en Cristo Jesús como el Hijo de Dios, es bautizada en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo para el perdón de todos sus pecados y para recibir el don del Espíritu Santo.
Amén.
También por haber confesado su fe en Cristo Jesús como el Hijo de Dios, en este momento es bautizado en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo para el perdón de todos sus pecados y para que naciendo de nuevo en Cristo Jesús venga a disfrutar de bendición y vida eterna.
Amén.
Ana Joaquina Andrade, bajo la confesión de fe que ha hecho delante de Dios y delante de la Iglesia, es bautizada en nombre del Padre, en el nombre del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo para perdón de sus pecados y para recibir el don del Espíritu Santo. Amén.
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 Es bautizada en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo para recibir el perdón de pecados y recibir el don del Espíritu Santo. Amén.
Amén. Ana Elizabeth Guevara. Por haber confesado su fe en Cristo Jesús como el Hijo de Dios y por haber reconocido que Él es suficiente para perdonarle todos sus pecados, ella, esta noche, es bautizada en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo para perdón de todos sus pecados y para comenzar una nueva vida en Cristo Jesús. Por haber confesado su fe en Cristo Jesús como el Hijo de Dios y que Él es suficiente para perdonar.